Not private,
no. Welcome back from
not private communication at this time of day.
Health break, tea, coffee, water break.
You don't believe me?
We are going to continue with the examination of the remaining committees. I believe we have made some substantial progress and discussion in the last four or so committees. I want to believe we shall move a little bit faster, but also make sure that we do some critical analysis of the issues. I'd like once again to call upon the Secretary to continue presentation of the other committees as on page 11 of our document. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Maybe one thing which came to my mind when we were discussing CCR-VDF, and where Selma had said, actually, the procedures had been followed with, right? Everything had come for the critical review, and also the chairs had provided information on these documents, and still, nevertheless, the text progressed, and some of those are now held at step 8. So it is a different problem, and maybe I just would like to recall we have formed a working group, electronic working group, to work on standards held at step 8 in the CCGP. So maybe that also can do something for this process in the future. Let's see what comes out of that. Okay. With that said, let's turn to the other committees. We have finished with the numeric committees. The Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. Basically, what is said here, we cannot really describe the work in the numbers, in the bulk or number of standards or numbers to be that have been developed, because there are only 5 standards in the area, 3 general and 2 specific standards. And the committee has been working continuously on those, integrating a large number of individual standards for vegetable oils in the first stage, and then later added new types of oils. So this is, can be considered as ongoing work as we have in some other areas. The committee had used some criteria for justification of new work on these standards, which are shown here. But when later considering the activity 3.3, develop committee-specific decision-making and priority setting criteria of the strategic plan, the committee had agreed that information that had been required was now generally covered by the need for the project document and the critical review. Later, the document goes into saying how often the documents were revised and how often new oils were included. The revision of some of the standards, there's ongoing coordination also with the International Olive Oil Council to ensure the harmonization of the Codex standard and the IOC standard. Let me see, is there anything else? Well, we have two big experts of the committee here in the meeting room as well, if there's anything to be added, the secretary of the committee and a former chair, if I have heard correctly, of the committee, also in the room. So if there's anything to add, but in general, no problem with this committee. It seems to be able to manage its workload well with the general indications given through the critical review process and the need to define a project document. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Comments on fats and oils? One issue that is clearly coming through, fats and oils, as far as work management is concerned, is the use, once again, through electronic working groups between sessions, and in session working group. So maybe we'll need some comments on how that works, where that could be something that may be recommended, especially the in-session working group during the sessions. Let's have comments on fats and oils and we proceed. Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the honour to chair the last UK meeting of Codex Fats and Oils, and it was an interesting experience. I think certainly in terms of process, there were a number of sticking points within the committee's agenda, but the use of groups, working groups within the committee, running in parallel or allowing sort of tea breaks and quick sort of brainstorming sessions to see if delegates could get to consensus, bringing interested parties together, was not particularly effective at the end of the day. But I think it was useful for all the issues to be aired, so everybody, there was a better understanding within the small groups of each other's position than could have been made in plenary. So I would certainly endorse the use of informal groups outside of the plenary, coming back and then updating plenary on the results of those discussions.
Thank you, Member for Europe. Any other comments? None, there are no flags. So we note the usefulness of having these electronic working groups and the in-session working groups as appropriate, depending on the committees, as useful tools for advancing codex texts and standards. Next committee, fish and fishery products. Secretariat, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Fish and fishery products committee. Also, when we looked at getting figures for the speed of standards, looking at the work of that committee, it's sometimes a bit difficult to calculate because it is kind of like also an ongoing completion of the code of practice for fish and fishery products and inclusion of new things. Over the last few years, there were some delays in completion or progress of work due to the very full extensive agenda and difficulty to cover all items. There was also lack of consensus on the scope of some standards and their related codes of practice, use of additives and appropriate hygiene provisions. And in some cases, the committee relies on scientific advice from FAO WHO and advice or recommendations on hygiene provisions from the Committee on Food Hygiene. But all this advice, as has been said, has been mainly been timely and has very seldomly slowed down the process, the progress of work in the committee. The committee also noted that the consideration of proposals for new work presently were based on the criteria for the establishment of work priorities as contained in the procedural manual, and that this was adequate for the committee, and therefore it has no need to set any specific decision-making or priority-setting criteria. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Comments on fish and fishery products, their work management. We note some difficulties from the report. We need to understand exactly how we can assist in having some of those difficulties resolved. FAO, please.
Gracias.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to highlight two points which might be considered as good practice, one of which is to ensure efficient interaction between this committee and the Food Hygiene Committee as far as hygiene issues are concerned, ensuring proper communication. This has also involved WHO and FAO with regard to the scientific advice which is required for this. The work being carried out by GEMRA in the Food Hygiene Committee relating to fisheries products also involves a degree of interaction. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. We note that because of the difficulty of the work, there is need to link up with the other committees, especially the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, in the work of the fish and fishery products. There is need for scientific advice from GEMRA through FAO and WHO. And we need to encourage harmonization of their work management with the respective committees and the scientific expert committees of FAO and WHO. I would, however, like a comment from the last paragraph that was noted here, because it is saying that this particular committee noted that its current considerations or proposals for new work were based on the criteria for the establishment of work priorities and were adequate for the committee, and therefore has no specific decision-making and priority setting criteria. Are there comments on that particular statement from this executive committee? I see no flags. No, I see some flags now. Member for Europe.
I'm not sure if I'm going to say the same thing. I think just given your very subtle prompt to consider this paragraph, I think as a matter of good management, every Codex committee should have some form of priority setting or work management program. I think that goes without saying, but obviously in this case it does need to be said. So just as a matter of good practice, as I said, I think that should be the case for all committees. How they go about that can be a matter for that committee. In some committees it can be much more complex and a more formal procedure than others, but it needs to be in place in some form. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. Member for Southwest Pacific. I'm seeing different flags every time. I hope that's correct. Member for Southwest Pacific.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just perhaps to add to what the Member for Europe said, and I may be incorrect, but I think that the full workload of this committee actually eventuated before we had asked committees to set priority setting criteria and develop work management practices. I'm not sure whether there's actually been any new work proposed in this committee for several years. I think they have had quite a large agenda with the code of practice is huge and has many appendixes and annexes. But it might be worthwhile, as the member suggests, to suggest to the Fish Committee that if in the future they have got new work proposals, that they may need to rethink that question of whether they need separate priority setting criteria. Thank you.
Secretary, I would like to clarify this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, as indicated by the previous member who spoke, there is this code of practice, which is ongoing work, which was a consolidation of 12 existing codes and the addition of some sections like aquaculture. So that was some sort of ongoing work. And in that work, the code of practice being for some part a code of hygienic practice, there is, as mentioned by a colleague from FAO, very good coordination and interaction with the Committee on Food Hygiene. As regards new work, there were some items proposed in previous years, some specific standards. More recently, we had the standard for fish source, which is now going to the Commission at step 5, and the standard for abalone as well. That and the more recent. Regarding the last paragraph, it's true the committee replied in this way. That's an exercise in the strategic plan, which was completed in 2008. So several committees replied that the current criteria were very adapted to their work. And we've seen in the previous case that the Committee on Fats and Oils, which had developed some specific criteria for their standards, when the critical review and the project document requirements were adopted, they looked at the situation and said we do not need specific criteria now because that's taken into account in the project document. It's true that some standard, and there is especially one standard we have looked at it in the critical review that was on smoked fish. There was a lot of difficulties in the definition of the scope. It kept changing, and the committee was meeting every 2 years also before. So that was really the one where there was a specific problem. But with the we're moving towards the completion of the code itself, so that will be also perhaps ease up the workload, which was quite important at some stage. And one of the elements which was not indicated here, which was work management, but more from a practical point of view, that to hold a session of the committee for 6 days instead of 5, that was one of the possibilities. And there were also some working groups before the session. So that was to explain. And I just wanted to add something to what was said by my colleague from FAO, who mentioned JEMRA. But there was also an important issue, an emerging issue, which was biotoxins, and the way it worked very well that the committee at the codex level asked for a specific expert consultation because that was a specific issue which was not either JEMRA or JECFA. And the fact of having clear questions to the risk assessors really facilitated that work. There was very good interaction, and the results of the consultation work were considered by the committee, which allowed the finalization of standard with very many food safety aspects, which was a standard on the bivalve mollusk. So that was another example, which was really specific on a specific expert consultation, which really replied to the request of the committee, and that was a good interaction between risk assessors and risk managers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary. I think that puts to rest that statement, which had been included under Section 3.2. Can we move on to Section 3.3, Codex Committee on Food Hygiene?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just maybe to say that for the fish and fishery products, the delays that were perceived were very often not because of safety, but really because of definitions. Something I recall the sardine case, which took some time to define, so that was not really fault of work management and interaction with other committees. And also, I think we do, we have asked them whether they needed specific work criteria. They have replied at the time. I don't know if it's already the opportunity to ask again, because we have completed that that activity. Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, a committee meets every year, and I did not mention it all the time, but most of the committees actually are really using the possibility to have working groups or electronic working groups in between the sessions, and at least all committees where I have been also use sometimes this the technique that you get together during the coffee break and find some text where that drafting is not possible during the committee. The work in the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene has developed and is using since 2005 a process by which the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene will undertake its work to better plan and manage its workload, and as a consequence has noted that this has increased the speed of preparation of some documents, and it has also recently developed risk analysis principles and procedures applied by the Committee on Food Hygiene. So that are fairly recent processes which are being implemented in the committee now. If you look at the table and look at the output, you can see quite a number of texts that did take longer than, let's say, the average speed that we had established to develop, more than 3 years more in some cases. And the reasons may lie mainly in the complexity of some of the texts developed and also the absence of a structured process at the time. If you look at, for instance, the principles and guidelines for the conduct of microbiological risk assessment, that was also a very complex document to develop, as it really introduced a new way of working for Codex, and it has formed part of the basis of other work that has been undertaken since then. I would stop here. I already see FAO who would like to mention something. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. To add to the information given by the Codex Secretariat, I would like to indicate that the interaction between this committee and FAO and WHO is perhaps an example of the development that we should be looking for to speed up Codex work. 10 years ago, Codex called for the establishment of what we call FAO-WHO expert meetings on microbiological risk assessment to facilitate the work of the committee. And in 2000, well, this was in 2000, and GEMRA is celebrating 10 years of these meetings. This work is based on permanent interaction between the risk assessors at WHO FAO international level and the committee. And the work has involved members of GEMRA participating in discussions on priorities within the committee, with the committee setting out its priorities and clearly identifying its needs in terms of scientific advice. The committee, in the course of these discussions, prepares specific terms of reference, which are then submitted to FAO and WHO, and they also set out the time frames for this required scientific advice. This enables us to better timetable our work, as I mentioned. At the same time, our work has developed in as much as we have sought to prepare a series of guides on risk assessment to set out the principles and guidelines for this. These requirements were focused on risk assessments whose outcome was initially not used as it perhaps should have been, essentially because we did not know how to make best use of those results. And with this in mind, GEMRA needed to work with Codex and with Codex members to prepare a basic core tool to assist in capacity building and to assist in seminars being organised on microbiological risk assessment, the outcomes intended and the data to be used. Over the last 10 years, 19 publications have been produced. We have a brochure concerning those that's available at the back of the room. There's also been a need to work in coordination with the committee on another issue which I'll draw the committee's attention to. In the course of our discussions on priorities, we have said as a committee that there is a need to have in place practical guides, for example, to cut cases of Salmonella and Campylobacter, that for that we need to have in place the tools to enable us to assess the extent to which the Codex guides and any other guides which we might publish at certain times on, as part of the supply chain mechanism, are effective or not. GEMRIT needs to work with the committee on the preparation of such tools. For example, for Enterobacter sakisaki, we are working on an assessment tool. This is going to be applied, I think, to poultry Campylobacter. There will also be an assessment coming up to seek to reduce occurrence of some other contaminants. I would also inform the committee that as part of its meetings of experts, GEMRA has been expanding its technical assistance because it is not simply a matter of producing a risk assessment. It has also sought to pinpoint specific issues and has been working in coordination with the Food Hygiene Committee on defining priorities. For example, we were asked to undertake a risk assessment of microorganisms in vegetable or plant products to advise the committee as to what priorities could be in light of the range of pathogens and the fact that this is fairly extensive. In the light of this, the committee would take a decision on whether or not to move forward and work in this field. And this could also be done in terms of discussions with FAO and WHO to establish whether a particular contaminant could be discussed by the Food Hygiene Committee or not. And on the basis of such advice, the Food Hygiene Committee has taken on board and acted on this advice. This can serve as a lesson to all of us, and I believe it does offer the opportunity to provide useful results if we can all learn from this experience. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, FAO. I think we take note. I think what is coming out from this particular committee is the very good interaction of the committee with the other partners, especially FAO and WHO, in terms of having the scientific advice required to be brought on board in a timely fashion. And I believe that should be encouragement for all the committees that need scientific advice from FAO and WHO. No more flags. Can we move on to Codex Committee Food Import and Export Inspection and Certification Systems? It's a long name.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It's a long name, but it's not going to be a long intervention. I was just wondering whether I should give the floor directly to the member from the Southwest Pacific, but she shakes her head. This committee is blessed with a not very heavy workload. Let's say usually there's two, at most three projects I've seen in development. Of course, these are texts which are a little bit longer. But the majority of the texts have gone through a process which included three sessions of the committee, the first proposing new work to the commission, the second considering the scope, structure, and content of the document, and the third finalizing the document and forwarding it to the commission for adoption at step 5-8. And in general, two working group meetings in between the sessions. So the committee meets every year, and there was a working group meeting in between the session. It has to be said that these were working groups. These are heavy working groups. These are working groups with a huge participation, almost kind of a mini committee, if you wish. Were usually also held always held with interpretation as well. So this has allowed a steady progress of the work, and the last sentence here saying that given the manageable workload and the speed in which the texts are already advancing in the CCFIX, there was agreement that there was no need to develop specific decision-making and priority-setting criteria, as this was already contained within the process, within the procedure manual. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Comments on CCFIX? No flags. I think this committee is satisfied with the work of CCFIX. Thank you very much. Food labeling.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I don't know why there was some commotion in the room when the food labeling committee was mentioned. This committee, as we have seen earlier this session, additionally to the work on food labeling texts, the committee has the responsibility for the development of the guidelines on the production and marketing of organically produced foods. So these are really two prongs of work of that committee, which should probably also be seen like that. And for the work on food labeling texts, up to now the committee has not seen any need to develop any specific work management proposals, and it's working in line with the general procedures in the procedure manual. Work may begin as a discussion paper for several sessions, which is one of the things that a little bit upsets the calculation of speed of documents. Maybe at some point the executive committee may wish to look at that a little bit, because several committees, they start discussion papers can be on the agenda for quite some time in committees, and also that takes time of the committee, and it is actually work in a way that starts without work having started officially. So while this is necessary sometimes to build the opinion in the committee, but it's something that when we discuss speed should also in a way be taken into account. Work usually goes through the complete step procedure. Accelerated procedure was used twice, but as I have said before, using the accelerated procedure not necessarily means that work moves fast. Omission of steps 6 and 7 was used once, only in the last 10 years or so. Work is frequently returned to steps 3 and 6 by the committee, and in 4 cases was returned by the commission also to the committee. Pre-session physical working groups have been held at most of the sessions. Mainly this was to progress the work on the guidelines on the production and marketing of organically produced foods. And inter-session physical working groups were used 4 times to try to make progress on the issues related to the labeling of GM, GE foods. There also has been use of electronic working groups. It is this committee that will for the first time make use of a facilitator, noting that the issue of GMGE labeling had been debated for 13 years and no consensus was achieved, even though the measures to facilitate consensus were applied. by several chairs, I mean by the chairs that have been in the committee since then, and extensive use was made of physical working groups. So the CCFL at its 38th session decided to make use of a facilitator in order to try to make progress on the issue. Besides this work on GMGE labeling, the speed with which the work has been progressing is actually satisfactory, because usually it's even lower than the speed on the average speed. The amendment to the general standard for labeling of prepackaged foods on quantitative declaration of ingredients, that took longer time and several working group sessions as well. One of the reasons may have been their diversification of provisions at the national level, and also potential impact on costs, which were evoked by some members there. I will stop here for any comments on this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Comments on food labeling. There are difficulties, complexities. Comments from the floor, please. Member Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's an important point to note in looking forward for future work in the labelling area. We're all dealing with different labelling issues at the national level, and with labelling matters, it's harder to establish analytical endpoints from which to make decisions, and consensus will need to be reached, taking into account other factors such as cultural differences, differing national positions, often noting the significant variation in the labelling provisions globally, and also recognising differing consumer capabilities, the need for consumer understanding of the labelling statements. This is an area that's only just developing terms of scientific underpinnings and presently relies on observational and anecdotal data, which may lead to more debate than less disputable scientific data. There may be a need in the future to underpin CCFL decisions, and this is gradually being raised during discussion. And as this area matures, we'll need to evolve to assist with more timely decision-making. So I think it's important to note in when we're looking at the study of the speed of standard setting, that this is an area that could prove to be problematic in the future. Thank you.
Any further comments? We have heard from the submission about the complexity of the subject, but we need to find solutions. And as a committee, to be able to advise on way forward for progress as far as standards development is concerned. We have noted the complexity and the nature of the complexity, the need to take into account those very difficult areas in coming up with final text. Are there further comments on this? Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I think, and if I have understood the member from Southwest Pacific correctly, what really is needed there is to look when starting new work and when devising the project document at this, because there's this point about diversification of national legislation, where in some cases maybe we need more research and input, but in some cases we maybe just have to accept that this is like that, that there are differences in the world, and maybe that may lead to codecs in that end, not to establish a standard. So that very clearly to look at the project's documents coming from there and to see if there is a chance to reach consensus on some issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. I think that's useful. So can we now move on to the next committee, which is fresh fruits and vegetables. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Codex Committee on Fresh Food and Vegetables is entrusted to elaborate worldwide standards and related text as may be appropriate for fresh food and vegetables. And the committee performs its task in consultation with the UNECE Working Party on Agricultural Quality Standards, and in particular its specialized section on standardization of fresh fruits and vegetables to ensure harmonization of texts and that they follow the same broad format and avoid duplication of work. Now, frankly speaking, what is happening in this area is duplication of work because we have two organizations working on similar standards. As I have said before, it is up to member states to decide. Member states have decided that they want this. So there's very little that the Secretariat and very little that the organizations, in a way, can do as long as member states decide that they want to have two bodies dealing with these kind of standards. So what is happening in this committee is usually that once work has started, there is a process of alignment between the different texts, between the text coming from Codex. Codex develops a draft, and then this draft is, in the end, it's tried to align it over several sessions with the relevant UNECE text, which is not that simple because the UNECE text may move at the time because the process for updating the standards is far, far less heavy than ours, and there's far less, they don't have a critical review, and whenever a member sees the need to review the standard, then this can happen. So this may lead to delays in this area. The committee had a priority list at a time, but it was agreed at the 15th session to discontinue this and to work in alignment with the criteria for the establishment of work priorities as contained in the procedural manual. Just seeing if there's anything else. In some cases, we have seen that the standards can move quite quickly, but usually whenever there's this need of the coordination, which is also written in the terms of reference of the committee, so the committee is obliged, really, by its terms of reference to do this, then it can take a longer time than the average to finalize the document. So if there's like a text for which there's no other standard exists before, usually the finalization is rather quick. In other cases, it has taken between 7 to 10 years to come to a finalization of a standard. We have the chairperson of that committee here as well, if she wants to add something. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Yes, chairperson of the committee, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I might just add that the list of priorities was cancelled on the basis of the fact that all the new work have to comply with the critical review. And so now we hope that future work will not take as much time, but they will have to, of course, abide with certain prerequisites that didn't in the past. In fact, the delays have not been only due to the fact that we have to coordinate with the CFP, but also because of regional difficulties, some economic problems, for example, concerning oranges in specific region. And in Brazil, there were difficulties there because of the climate. The oranges were green. And so these kind of difficulties are rising. Now, this a committee should exist between Codex because otherwise we're just dealing at a regional level. And Codex is a global body. So I think that's wise. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for fresh fruits and vegetables. Certainly another issue, again, the complexity of the subject. And here we see geographical issues coming in trying to determine some of the characteristics of the commodities under consideration as one of the challenges in the harmonization. We are assured by the chairperson that after looking at all this and discontinuing the priority list and trying to follow the guidance of critical review of new work items, they should be able to move fairly fast in their work. Any further comments? Seeing none, we now go on to section 3.7, methods of analysis and sampling. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much. I really have to admit I know nothing about this committee, but but we have the secretary to that committee here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's often the case that people see this committee and sometimes they don't read the report until the end. Mr. Chairman, that the tasks of the Committee of Method of Analysis and Sampling are of two types. There is general issues on analytical method and sampling, and work on methods, which is endorsement submitted by other committees. And that, just a general remark, that applies also to other committees where endorsement, we should also note that only as a general remark, endorsement takes quite some time of the in the work of the committee, and that was also the case for labelling and for additives and food hygiene especially. So there are these general issues which we are developing, such as guidelines, general guidelines on sampling, which took quite some time to develop. They are, by the nature of the subject, quite complex, and some of them took some time. There are not many items on the agenda, but they are very substantial items. For example, the guidelines on the on analytical on the resolution of analytical disputes on analytical results. That took some time because there were also different approach, because also a scientific basis will be evolving. There are different approaches, whether you should have a strictly scientific approach or a more practical approach for enforcement purposes. So there is always this discussion, which is really discussion on the substance, on the available scientific basis. Especially we try to address emerging issues, not so much emerging issues, but difficult issues like uncertainty of sampling. We have guidelines on uncertainty, on measurement uncertainty, which were adopted in 2004. And now they are in the process of revision to provide more guidance to member countries. So these are quite complex issues. So that as regards general work approach, the criteria where the general criteria are used, because it's really work of a general nature, and the committee found the current criteria, and they, of course, also critical review and project document quite adequate to really clarify the purpose of its work. When it's present new requests for work, which are, as I mentioned, not very often because there are quite few but substantial issues. The latest item to be proposed as new work, and which is now coming up for adoption at the Commission. This is with the long title on the performance criteria and validation of methods for quantification of specific DNA sequences. That was proposed for new work in 2008. Before that, there had been discussion, and we mentioned this issue of discussion papers. In that case, the committee, before really deciding to undertake new work, took quite some time to really clarify the scope before, because the committee did not want to start new work if it was not really possible to complete it. And once it started, it went really, really well. We have despite the really complex issue, and there was an item which was already mentioned earlier in our discussions on the use of this electronic platform. This working group was coordinated by Argentina, one of the co-chair, on the technical part on the web platform. The other countries were Germany and the United Kingdom worked on the from the beginning also on this text. But this web-based platform was very useful. It allowed excellent interaction between the countries, the members and the observers, and that really facilitated the work. I would like to mention that this is one of the committee which never held physical working groups between the sessions, but it had various electronic working groups which allowed participation of all members and observers, and there is no physical working group between the session. There is a physical working group prior to the session, which is the working group on the endorsement of the methods of analysis. So that was the general approaches. And something perhaps which is not entirely relevant to our discussion, but that's the question of endorsement. The CCMAS is trying to had put forward a number of criteria which are in the procedural manual and recommendations to Codex committees to try to apply the criteria approach instead of setting quite a number of methods. There are, of course, different views, because for enforcement purposes you need a specific reference methods. But now, for example, all the methods of analysis for contaminants, especially heavy metals, have been reviewed according to the criteria approach. And at the present commission, a series of criteria will be put forward for the methods for natural mineral waters. So that's a little different issue, the issue of endorsement, and having also the commodity or individual committees really following the recommendations of the procedural manual relating to the inclusion of specific provision. That would also assist the work of the general committees which have to carry out endorsement. And also just regarding the output, there is a list. Some texts are also adopted by reference. They are developed by some other organizations and considered by the committee, and sometimes with a specific modification or a specific addition for the purposes of Codex. So that's to cover the whole range of that work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary. No flags. I note three issues there arising from there for this committee. One is the use of this web-based electronic platform that has been developed and being used by CCMAS. You may recall at the beginning of this meeting, this issue was also ably talked about by our chair, and I think we shall have probably more discussion under any other business. But suffice at this time to say that it has been proved to be a useful tool and could be recommended to other committees for use. We have also noted also the use of precision working groups as ways of advancing texts being considered by the committees. We also note and urge other committees that send documents to this particular committee to follow the guidelines that have been put forward in Codex process. There are no further comments on CCMAS. We now move on to quickly to milk and milk products. Yes, milk and milk products.
Milk and milk products. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The Codex Committee on Milk and Milk Products, one of the committees that has now said that they have finished their work, has been meeting nine times since its establishment in 1994, working on a revision of individual tea standards, development of standards for milk and milk products, and other texts. Committee has also initiated the development of the Code of Hygienic Practice for Milk and Milk Products, which was then finalized by the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene. So in the 9 sessions, the committee has completed work on 35 texts and had agreed on priority setting criteria that could be developed for the committee in the future. For the cheese standards, the committee has been using a criteria for elaboration and revocation of individual standards for cheese in the past. And it has now been proposed to adjourn this committee as it has completed all the revisions that were necessary. I think maybe we can also say that this committee very closely cooperates with the industry, with the International Dairy Federation, which gave a lot of input into the work. And I will stop here, as this is an adjourned committee. I mean, I think there's probably little, maybe going to be an adjourned committee, not yet adjourned. Maybe little recommendations that we can make to this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there comments to this committee on milk and milk products? We are not yet sure whether the Commission will agree to the request, so we need to assume at this point that the committee is not yet adjourned. Seeing none, so just note the work that has been done in the milk and milk products. And we wait for endorsement of their request by the Commission. The last but not least committee is on processed fruits and vegetables. No, it's not the last, sorry. It's not the last. No. So let's move on to Codex Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It's not the last, not the least. Committee is entrusted with the elaboration of worldwide standards for all types of processed fruits and vegetables, including canned, dried, and quick frozen fruits and vegetables. Already from that, you can see that the workload is big. And it does work in accordance with the uniform procedure. It held its 19th session after in March 1998, after it had been adjourned in 1986, with a specific task to revise all the individual standards and related texts for processed fruit and vegetables, approximately 50 codex documents, in order to make them more general and simple through the combination of similar commodity groups when possible, and thus facilitate their acceptance by governments. So proposals for new work in relation to the revision of existing standards and related texts are requested by means of circular letter attached to the report of the session, and the prioritization of work follows the assessment against the criteria for the establishment of work priorities applicable to commodities. Most of the standards and related texts for processed fruits and vegetables were developed between 1970 and 80, and which means the need for their revision is evident, as recommended by the Codex Alimentarius Commission. When discussing it at its 24th session, the committee agreed not to develop any additional specific criteria for the setting of work priorities, because they recognized that the existing criteria in the procedure manual were sufficient for setting priorities for the future work. It also agreed to maintain the current interval of meetings. So said, however, that the interval and duration may be dependent on the agreement on work to be undertaken at future meetings. The committee also decided increased and better use of electronic working groups, meeting intersessions and physical working groups between and immediately prior to the plenary have positively assisted the committee in facilitating consideration of standards in the plenary, especially by identifying critical issues for the committee. So, at the last session, in order to further help the committee has established a working group on priorities that has been entrusted with the task of examining and remaining standards for canned fruits and vegetables and the whole set of standards for quick frozen fruits and vegetables, around 20 individual standards, in order to determine the prioritization for the revision, including the best procedures to speed up the completion of the review. There's still a number of standards and codes of practice and standards for dried produce that need further consideration to complete its work. So there was also a request from the Commission to consider the possibility of extending the mandate of the committee to cover fruit juices, to perform any further work on fruit juices and nectars after abolishment of the task force. So that should also be seen in this framework, so the workload might even increase. What should be said if the work continues on dried produce? That may give us another issue for coordination with UNECE, because they also do dry produce standards. What should be said about this committee? What I continue saying is that the committee has spent a lot of time working in making general standards, in combining existing individual standards to make general standards, to make them easier applicable, which of course has reduced the number of standards that Codex has, so which again tends not to use the number of Codex standards as a measure of how good Codex is or how encompassing Codex is, but one general standard may be a lot better than 20 individual ones. I will stop here for the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Yes, have comments on the Processed Fruits and Vegetables Committee. I see no flags, but we also note that indeed the committee uses working groups in trying to facilitate the advancement of the elaboration process of the standards, which has been, I think, a method that has been successfully used by many of the committees in trying to speed up work for Codex. 3.10, Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. CCNFSDU meets every year and between sessions works through electronic and physical working groups. Work there also goes through, usually through the complete step procedure, may start as a discussion paper, and in some cases the documents can go through quite a number of iterations. There, the longest item that the CCNFSDU worked on was the definition and provisions for dietary fiber, which we hope now to have completed. And in the last 10 years, the group completed work on 9 documents. There's extensive interaction between this committee and the Committee on Food Labeling, and it's also this committee together with the Committee on Food Labeling that has been identified as a committee assisting any Codex-related work to the implementation of the WHO Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health. I see that FAO is already having the flag ready in order to say something about scientific advice to that committee, which was one of the issues that was missing and maybe has held up some of the work, but I refer to FAO on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to inform the Executive Committee that WHO and FAO finally started establishing arrangements to have a mechanism similar to GEMRA, which is a series of experts gathering together to provide scientific advice whenever the committee needs it and to give in their point of view on scientific issues. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. That's, I think, good news for us in Codex and good news for the committee, in order to speed up the work within the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses. That concludes our analysis of work management approaches that facilitate advancement of texts by the various Codex committees. We have indeed identified some of the best practices and measures that can be used by the various committees to be able to facilitate the advancement of the Codex texts and standards in the Codex process. We shall recommend these to the Commission, and when adopted, then we expect that the various committees should be able to utilize these very good practices to be able to advance our work within Codex. As I mentioned earlier, this particular discussion was in reference to Activity 3.4 of our strategic plan. This committee may wish now pronounce itself whether we should now proceed to Activity 3.5, because if you see the note under 3.5, we are told that 3.5 cannot proceed unless 3.4 has been done. Do I take it that we have concluded 3.4 and therefore we can give room for the start of Activity 3.5? I want the feeling of this committee and we close this particular agenda item. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to say that with our discussion here that we have held this morning, we have actually moved fully into Action 3.5 because we have been giving recommendations to the relevant committees. So we're with the report that will come out of our discussions today, containing the recommendations that we make to the relevant committees, plus the this will go to the Commission and hopefully then being endorsed by the Commission, we have actually completed this action. We have asked and we have made recommendations for that. I mean, if I just read just to the letter again, 3.5. Adopt approaches to proven to facilitate advancement of text in the Codex step procedure by subsidiary bodies not currently using such approaches. So basically, we are recommending things now. And now, of course, we will monitor how the committees will have dealt with that in the future, so in our future session. So we have given already the initiation of now of Action 3.5. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Secretariat, for that clarification. Thank you very much, delegates, for this morning session. Oh, I see a flag. Vice Chair Knut.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an additional idea on how to finalize the debate about this project. I think this committee agrees that it is actually a very positive analysis in the respect that it demonstrates that Codex is in many respects faster and much better at producing results than our general reputation. And I think we should be happy about that, and I think we are happy about that. And I think it's important that that it is also communicated to the outside world, because we often hear voices around that criticize Codex for being a half-sleeping body that takes a long time to produce. So this is actually demonstrates that obviously we have a few problems, but no organization is perfect. But the major conclusion of this analysis is that we actually do quite good, and I think we should, this committee, I would suggest that this committee give the advice to our secretariat that they take on board the activity of making sure that this is being communicated actively to the outside world. So that was my remark. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Knut. Thank you very much, delegates, for this morning session. I believe we have made our recommendations to the Commission. I believe they will be adopted. And I want also to thank the Secretariat for this exercise. It was a very busy and heavy exercise. I want to congratulate them for giving us the paper and for you able discussing it and making a way forward for Codex. Thank you very much for this morning session. Unless the announcements, let's be back here at 2:30. Bon appétit.